If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. We'll take a moment and look at this experience that this man had. The man who was born blind. John chapter 9. Now, in John, you'll find 8 powerful experiences. These things really happened. These are real live people. This is not fictional kind of Disney characters made up. These are real people in real life situations. These things actually happen. But John takes these events and weaves them into the tapestry, the message. What is important about life? Who is Jesus? What did he have to say? What's your role in God's created world? John weaves these actual events into that experience and forms a tapestry. They help tell the story. They illustrate. And then we're reminded that they are examples. Just like John sang, ask the blind man, listen to his story, because he saw what others did not see. And those things that he saw are the things that God wants you and me to see and to understand. Several years ago, Tricene and I were walking through one of many malls. Now, I don't get there that often. I try to avoid that. But as she was doing her thing, I was impressed with the display out in the middle of the mall there. Lots of pictures, and they were very lovely, striking pictures. I paused to look at one of them, and as I was browsing, the person came up and said, "Do you see it?" I said, "See what?" "Do you see the picture in the picture?" I said, "I guess not. How do I do that?" "Just stare at this picture," she said. "Stare at it. Focus on it. The picture in the picture will become clear to you." That's my prayer this morning. That's what happened to the blind man, physically and then spiritually. He saw the picture within the picture. And I trust that that same experience will become yours this morning and will become mine. You got your Bible open? John chapter 9? Not going to let you cheat. Not going to read it off the screens. You got to look at your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, grab one in the pew there. It's very important that you see that this comes from this book. I'm not making this up. John chapter 9. Now, just for fun, look at the last 2 verses of chapter 8. It gives us the context. Jesus has just finished a very angry discussion with a group of hard-headed blind people. He concludes that discussion in verse 58. Jesus says to this group, "I assure you," note that, "I assure you, before Abraham was, I am." They understood exactly what he meant. At that point, they picked up stones to throw at or to stone Jesus. But Jesus was hidden and went out of the temple complex. And as he was passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples questioned him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus answered. This blindness, came about so that God's work might be displayed in him. We must do the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light, not a light, not a voice. I am the light of the world. After Jesus said these things, he spit on the ground, made some mud from the saliva, and spread the mud on his eyes. "Go," he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. The word Siloam means sent. So he left, washed, and came back seeing. His neighbors and those who formerly had seen him as a beggar said, "Isn't this the man who sat begging?" Some said, "He's the one." "No," others were saying, "he just looks like him." But he kept saying, "I'm the one." Therefore they asked him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and told me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed. I received my sight." "Where is he?" they ask. "I don't know," he replied. Now, Father, in the moments that stand before us, help us to enter into this story, to see the picture in the picture, to see what the blind man saw and what those who were sighted were blind to. Help us to see ourselves in this encounter, to not only understand its significance, but to appropriate for our own hearts the same marvelous experience of an encounter with Jesus Christ, and have our lives changed as he changed the blind man. Thank you for this wonderful passage, and thank you for the one who wrote it for our understanding, and for the one who made it all happen, the one who demonstrated here, "I am the light of the world." So speak to our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Four things about this man I'd like us to note this morning and learn from. First of all, take a look at his disability. He was born blind, and because he was born blind, he was isolated from the normal opportunities that other people in his society enjoyed and took for granted. As a result, he had been reduced to begging. The disciples, observing that he was blind, and knowing somehow that this blindness had occurred from before his birth, that he had never had the ability to see that you and I take for granted, physical sight. Their assumption was there must be some reason behind this disability, and they were right. Their question asks, "Jesus, who sinned? Whose fault is this man's blindness? Was it something he did in a previous life? Was it something he did out of his own volition in the womb of his mother? Or was it the sin of his parents or his grandparents?" Now, folks, the Bible clearly says that there are things, bad things, that happen to people without their being responsible. Some of you have become victims of things that have happened to you that you didn't provoke. An older sister, an older brother did something to you and you know you didn't deserve it. A drunken driver smacked into the car and five people are killed. They didn't plan that. They didn't arrange that. Someone makes a series of bad decisions and incurs within their body a physical condition that is passed on to their children. That happens too. But Jesus says in this situation that the man's blindness was not because of the sin either himself or his parents had committed. You may feel that way this morning about your condition in life. You are a victim. You are trapped in a set of circumstances Because somebody else made decisions, somebody else made mistakes, somebody else imposed upon you. But here you are this morning, frustrated by circumstances that are not your personal responsibility, the fruit of your own doing. May I say to you this morning that that's true of every one of us in this audience. Jesus did not say that sin was not involved, because all disabilities, all disease, all death, all suffering, all calamities are the result of sin. And the first to introduce sin into our world is a man whose name is Adam. And today you sit where you sit and you experience things that you experience, some because of your own bad choices, some because somebody else chose. All of us are victim by sin, and we did not create it. We were born that way. So in this man's deformity, in this man's disability, we have a picture in the physical realm of something that's true spiritually. We have a problem. You have a problem. I have a problem. We are born in a world dominated by sin, and sin always brings disease, destruction, and death. Always. And some of that you didn't cause. I want you to notice, secondly, this man's destiny. This destiny. He was born for such a time, such a moment, such an experience. His being born blind was not an accident. It was purpose and intent. Jesus says that this man's parents nor himself did not cause his blindness, but rather, notice verse 3, this came about, his being born blind, so that God's works might be displayed in him. Might be displayed in him. That's his destiny. Before he was born, God had a plan. And that plan was very personal for him and for you. You're not here by accident. You're not a mistake. The Bible proclaims that God, the Creator, calls every human out of nothing into existence, and that he has a purpose, a plan, a destiny, a goal for every one of us. Jesus brings that forward. He says this man was born with a destiny, and his destiny was that he would suffer this blindness, this physical blindness, so that the works of God who sent me would be manifest or displayed in him. Now, when you see your disability as a design of a gracious God who has a larger plan, suddenly the world looks different. And I'm here this morning to tell you that is true of you. There is a Creator. He created you. He made you just like you are, and he made you with a destiny in mind. That's one of the things that Jesus wanted to make clear. He says in this whole passage about God's work being displayed in this blind man, Jesus says, we must do the works, or I must do the works of him that sent me while it is day. That is, I must bring the works of God. I must bring God's design to the surface. I must show people what God intended and what God plans to do about the destiny he designs and desires for every human. That's my work. I am the light in the world. I am the light of the world. Go back to chapter 8 sometime and look at the 7 declarations that Jesus makes about himself in that passage. It is phenomenal. We'll start back there about verse 12, and he'll say, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then he says, I'm not from down here, I'm from above. And he goes on to say, I have the power over sin. I can set you free from sin. He goes on to say, if you follow me, you will never die. And he concludes that series of statements there in his marvelous self-defense or self-disclosure in that debate in chapter 8. He closes it by saying, before Abraham was, I am. And if you don't believe that I am, you'll die in your sins. That constellation of Jesus' self-identifying claims to truth is the foundation, it's the purpose, it's what Jesus is going to translate into a physical miracle and demonstrate in this man's life. When you see that, this passage bursts into life. All this man has spent some time. He's probably a teenager or maybe even his early 20s. He's had some years of discomfort and disappointment, but he is about to be used by God to speak to that generation and to speak to us today. That was God's destiny for him. And that's God's destiny for you. But for you to attain to that destiny and for him to experience that destiny, he had to make a decision. Bible tells us that Jesus stopped, spit on the ground, took some mud, put it on his eyes, and he said to him, go to the pool that's called Siloam and wash. Now he has to make a decision. He can go or not go. It's a simple act of simple faith. Do I trust this man whose voice I hear, who has just put mud on my face? Do I trust him? Do I believe him? Do I really? No. I just make a fool of myself if I do that. Why, if I do that, I'd have to admit that I can't heal myself. I can't solve my own problem. That's right. All that's involved. And all that's involved in your decision, dear friend. You got to come to the place where you realize you were born blind and you can't get sight on your own. It's impossible. And if you want sight, you got to make a decision to go to the light. You've got to publicly acknowledge, yep, I'm blind. Yep, been blind since birth. Yep, nothing I can do about it. Yep. Wait a minute. There is something I can do about it. I can do what the one who healed the blind man said. The man made a decision. And while there were elements of embarrassment and while he took a great risk and while he may have stumbled his way down through that familiar path with the crowds down to the pool at the bottom of the hill down below the temple complex, and while he was standing there and everybody was watching, he walked down in the waters of the pool and somebody said, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm looking for sight. You're looking for sight in the waters of this pool? You're nuts. You got to be kidding. No. Guy put mud on my eyes and he said, go do it. I'm doing it. And I may be fooled, but I won't be disobedient. He dipped and saw. Much of the rest of the chapter spins around this question. How did that happen? And what does he say? I don't know. I don't know. I have no clue. It wasn't the mud. Wasn't the water. I've been in that water before. It must be man. He must have the power to give me what the doctors cannot give me, what my parents couldn't give me, what no science could give me. He must have the power of life and death and sight and darkness and blindness. He must be able to meet my need. That's the only explanation the man could come to. Now, have you, friend, made that act, that commitment, that decision of faith to trust what you cannot see, to experience what you cannot produce, to pass from darkness into life, from death into life, from darkness into light, to pass from uncertainty into certainty because of the power of the one who says, I am the light. If you will follow me, you'll not walk in darkness. I will do in your life what you will never be able to explain. Oh, and others will ridicule. Others will laugh. Others will scoff. And you may have to stand there and say, one thing I know, once I was blind, now I see. A radical, life-changing transformation has taken place in my life. And it goes back to the miracle worker, to Jesus, and it proves his claims to be true. Well, you're blind this morning. So am I. Blind from birth, disabled, unable to help ourselves. But God designs a plan through which he wants to make us display boards. He wants to transform us. He wants to do a work in us. But we have got to make the decision. We got to go wash. We got to admit, can't solve my problems. Can't deal with my sin. I need help. And I will do what the helper says. There's a fourth thing, quickly. Notice the discovery that this man made. Now he's got his eyes. He can now see the green in the trees. He can now see the color of the limestone walls of the temple. He can now see the various colors of the people around him. And then the miracle of sight wasn't just that he could see stuff. The miracle was deeper because you don't see with your eyes, you see with your brain. But the eyes were changed so that they became channels through which light flowed into his brain, and his brain was changed miraculously so that he had the power to interpret all that he saw. What a miracle. But that's not what Jesus wanted to do to him. Jesus wanted something better. So the passage tells us that he moves through this discovery process, and there are five or six steps. Who is this one? They say to him. Well, he says, a man called Jesus. That's verse 11. All he knew was there was a man. His name was Jesus. He had spoke, sent me, did the mud. I did it. A man called Jesus. Who is he? He's a man called Jesus. Later in verse 17, they ask him, well, who do you say this man is? He said, well, surely he's a prophet. He has to be a prophet, at least. See, he's thinking about this. How could this have happened? Who is this man who did this miracle that I cannot explain? Then you read down in verse 32, a further discovery. Verse 32. Well, let's read. Let's read verse 30. This is an amazing thing, the man told them. You don't know where he, Jesus, is from. Now, Jesus has said, I'm from above. Made that very clear. You don't know where he's from. Yet he opened my eyes. We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but if anyone is God-fearing and does his will, God listens to him. Throughout history, no one has ever heard of someone opening the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he wouldn't be able to do anything. Wow. He's not a prophet. This man is from God. This man's origin is heaven, not earth. He had come to that conclusion. This is not an ordinary man. This is not a man with a prophetic gift. This is a man from God. Verse 35, Jesus heard that they had excommunicated him, and he found him and said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Son of Man. That's a term that means God in human flesh. It comes from the prophecies of Daniel and the visions there. It means God would enter into a human form, take on all the properties common to man, and still remain God. Do you believe that? And the man responds, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said, "You have seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking to you." Verse 38, "I believe, Lord." And he worshiped Jesus. What a marvelous discovery. He moved from physical blindness to physical sight, from physical sight to spiritual sight, from spiritual sight to insight. And he worshiped Jesus. In doing so, he put in condemnation the whole religious system of the Jews. He became a powerful exhibit A that you have crucified not the King of the Jews, but the God of creation. That the one whom you reject and turn over to the Gentiles and insist to be crucified is the Lord God, creator of the earth, and I'm testimony to his claims. And that's what God wants with me and you. He wants us to walk out there in that world as witness and testimony. He wants us to be delivered from our disabilities. He wants us to be a display board, demonstrating and showing the works of God. He wants us to make that decision to trust him and experience the power of his work and grace in our lives. And then he wants us to discover that the man called Jesus is the eternal God made flesh. And he wants us to have that relationship with him which flows out in a life that reflects light. Good sermon, don't you think? Amen. Yeah, because it's not mine. No, it's not mine. I stole it from John. All I've done this morning is say, take a look. But the question isn't how good's the sermon. The question is, are you a sermon? Am I a sermon? Have you walked through this path? The path blazed by the experience of the man born blind. Have you acknowledged your disability? You're a sinner. You can't do anything about it. You can't redeem yourself. You're lost. You can't find yourself. Do you realize that God didn't put you there to condemn you, to destroy you, but put you there so that you would trust him? And have you made the decision to trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Can you this morning say, "I once was blind, but now I see"? And can you add to that, "I see that Jesus is God"? Not a question, is there a God? What utter banality. What utter stupidity. Is there a God? Absolutely there's a God. And there's more objective proof for that than there is subjective doubt against it. But the question is Jesus God? Is Jesus the kind of person who exhibits the qualities of that true God? And is he able to do in my life today what the true God intended to fulfill my manifest destiny, and in fulfilling his plan for my life, testify to who he is, what he's able to do? Are you a sighted blind man? Would you stand with me, please? John sang it for us. Oh, I wish we knew that well enough to sing it. Ask the blind man. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Ask the blind man. All right, are you a blind man who's seen it all? That's the question. And if you haven't, the answer to your heart need, answer to your life need is a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, an experience of his power. He'll give you sight And then he'll lead you from sight to insight. Dear Jesus, take this passage of your word and drive it into our hearts. For those that are discouraged, confused, lead them to you, the light of the world. To those who say, I once was blind, but now I see, help us to really see. And then to be like this man, willing to testify in the radical change of our lives and in the clear witness of our words. Jesus is the light of the world. Those who follow him walk in light. Those who refuse him walk in darkness. Thank you for this wonderful passage and for our time together today. Help us now to be reflectors of your light, starting right now. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.